Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
Talk of the tournament, though, is a 24-time Grand Slam champion Novak Djokovic cruising to a straight sets win to advance to the quarters and then admonishing the crowd.
To all those people that have chosen to disrespect the player, in this case me, have a good night.
He's not done.
Good night, good night.
Djokovic.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
President Biden this morning desperate to change the narrative going on 2 weeks now since his disastrous debate performance. From a focus on his cognitive health and stamina to capable world leader. On the latter front, the president welcomes European leaders to Washington today. He kicks off a days-long NATO summit. ABC's M. Nguyen.
The president begins 3 days of meetings, speeches, and dinners today. He'll open the NATO summit with remarks followed by a dinner for more than 30 NATO leaders. Sources say the White House hopes the summit will showcase Biden's leadership. One administration official says this event is ideal for the president, but the summit no doubt to be overshadowed by those calls for Biden to drop out of the race and the looming possibility of a second Trump presidency. Trump once called NATO obsolete.
Important point, though. You think about these world leaders. They see, hear, and read the same things we do.
So they see a president who is fighting some issues with potentially his health. Parkinson's now is a word that's being thrown around that they've been having to deal with at the White House. And then you have a former president who hates NATO. So who pick which one you want.
Wouldn't you love to be in the room when there are no Americans there, just some of these European leaders?
Yeah. What are we
talking about?
What are we doing?
And then think about this, too. They're going to be in the mix of the Washington news cycle now for days, which is going to continue to focus on calls, even from fellow Democrats, for the president to step aside and allow for a different nominee. As to the questions that you raised about his health.
Has the president been treated for Parkinson's? No. Is he being treated for Parkinson's? No, he's not. Is he taking medication for Parkinson's? No.
That is White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre taking questions from the White House Press Corps about visitor logs that show that a neurologist who is also a Parkinson's expert visited the White House 8 times over an 8-month span. Jean-Pierre refusing to elaborate, not answering whether the doctor ever personally evaluated the president. Whether he did or whether he didn't, these are not questions the president of the White House want to be answering.
Right.
Some additional clarification from the White House did come out late Monday night. ABC's Lionel Moyes.
The president's doctor released a late-night letter after the White House press secretary refused to say why a Parkinson's expert visited the White House 8 times in 8 months. Dr. Kevin O'Connor said the specialist was there to see military personnel. He also confirmed that same neurologist examined Biden for each of his annual physicals and reiterated that they found no signs of Parkinson's.
So can I ask you something? If you were advising the White House or the presidential campaign, what are you telling them to change this narrative right now?
Right now, what they've been doing the last week and a half is talk about it, say, you know, accept the had a bad night, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And then I'm running then, still.
Right. I would say just flip the script. I'm done talking about it. Like if I were to advise the campaign, yeah, it would be like, we're just done talking about it. Because the more you talk about it, the more it sits out there and exists.
Like, keeps getting attention, yes.
What other answers do you have to these questions? So do your NATO thing. Try to have a good few days here with these European leaders. Show I'm a world leader. Yeah. These folks still respect me. I can work with these people. I mean, that's his best ticket. Just you have to flip the narrative yourself because the press corps is not. ABC News also reporting today that House and Senate Democrats are set to meet behind closed doors to discuss a path forward for the campaign. 6:15 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Brewers and Pirates start a 3-game set at American Family Field tonight. Just 2 series remain before the All-Star break.
The Brewers wrap things up this weekend against the Nationals at home. Now, the Crew begin the day 15 games over 500 in first place of the NL Central.
So much for a drop-off after the offseason losses of Craig Counsell and Cy Young Award winner Corbin Burns.
It's probably not a conventional way of doing things in baseball, and I think that's maybe why we are kind of flying under the radar sometimes.
Now in his seventh season in Milwaukee, Christian Yelich is used to the lack of preseason hype, leading to a playoff berth. Telling Wisconsin's Midday News.
There are a lot of young guys, a lot of rookies, a lot of contributions from people that you don't necessarily know at a national level. Having the right guys is just as important as having talented guys. You need the right guys to win.
Greg Matzik, WTMJ News.
So the Brewers, 53-38. They begin this three-game series tonight against the Pirates. First pitch, 7:10. Coverage begins at 6 o'clock right here on WTMJ.
To the fortnight, Wimbledon. Two Americans still in it on the men's side. American Tommy Paul takes on third-seeded Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz today. And down two sets to none, American Taylor Fritz advances to the quarterfinals with an upset win over fourth-seeded Alexander Zverev. Zverev apparently was hurting a bit in that match, but a good win for the American. Talk of the tournament, though, is a 24-time Grand Slam champion Novak Djokovic cruising to a straight sets win to advance to the quarters and then admonishing the crowd.
To all those people that have chosen to disrespect the player, in this case me, have a good night.
He's not done.
Good night.
Hey, good night. Djokovic. Awesome. He thrives on it, and they love it. Yeah. You know it. On the women's side, American Emma Navarro plays today after upsetting the number 2 seed American favorite Coco Gauff in straight sets. She remains the only American woman still alive in the tournament. Lighting up the lakefront sky this week, not fireworks, but a massive drone show.
The most intricate show we've made to date, probably the most dynamic movements and transitions between formations.
That is the company putting on the show in celebration of the centennial 100 years of Villa Terrace, Lakefront Bluff Museum. Kelly Herbst, founder of Milwaukee with Kids, mkewithkids.com, on the Tri-County Contracting Hotline this morning. Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Yeah, this drone show sounds amazing.
Have you seen one before?
I don't think I have. I mean, I've seen them on TV. I've seen pictures of them, but I don't think I've ever seen one live.
Not the same thing.
They're incredible. Right?
Eric
Kelly
and I both saw the one at the Badger game last year, and it was amazing. Kids are going to love this.
Oh, I am really pumped. So it's going to be 20 minutes. It's totally free. They say they're going to have several formations that depict images from the actual museum. But I mean, for kids, it's more like, whoa, there's a fish, like a giant fish or whatever it is. But yeah, 400 drones with LED lights right south of Bradford Beach is where they're going to light this up. And then at the exact same time, there's that other event going on right on the beach, that Art Blaze on the Beach, the new party series. So Wednesday night, tomorrow night on the lakefront is going to be really great for families.
Yeah, speaking of fish, bioluminescent sea creatures will be on the shore. So lots of different like public art. It's going to be very interesting with that Art Blaze on the Beach.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, this is really meant to be a family-friendly event, especially when it starts. It's 4 beach parties throughout the summer. Tomorrow is the first one. They start at like 3:30 with family-friendly entertainment, and then they sort of roll on into the night with music and live entertainment. But as you said, there's tie-dyeing, there's s'mores and bonfires. I mean, really, it's a free, family-friendly event. And it's so great that it coincides with this drone show. So, yeah, head down to the lakefront. Free fun tomorrow night.
Hey, while we've got you, Kelly, I wanted to ask you about a recent article that caught our attention in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. It's, you know, with kids being out of school now in the summer, bringing the decision that all families eventually have to face, when is it okay to start leaving that oldest child home alone or that child home with younger siblings in his or her care?
Hey, how old? I'm trying to remember. Do you remember how old you were the first time you were left alone, Kelly? I think I was 8.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, that sounds right. Back in the day, I was babysitting kids when I was like 10.
Yeah, right.
So, yeah, it was just different back then. But really, leaving your kids home alone, it's like a new level of parenting unlocked, because it provides so much flexibility for you to go run an errand or take the dog on a walk around the neighborhood. I mean, when the kids are really small, you forget you can't do those things, really. Right. You can't leave them to fend for themselves. So it's really a huge step. And yeah, I mean, I think you're right. I think it's around that, you know, 8 to 10 age where we started to go on errands and, you know, see how it went, making sure that they could contact us with an iPad or a phone or whatever. And just seeing how it went and growing from there.
So the Journal Sentinel had a story about it, like Vince was talking about, as we have the summer now where sometimes kids are home alone. It says Kansas is at the low end of the spectrum, saying Kansas allows children 6 to 9 years old to be home alone for short periods of time. 6 years old. And then
that's a mature six-year-old. I don't know about that.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
I should barely be left home alone.
Right. On the other end, it says Illinois says any person who leaves a child under 14 without supervision for an unreasonable period of time could be found guilty of neglect.
Oh, dear. Well, I better not go to Illinois then.
I think you're always talking about it. It all depends. You know your kids, and not all 8-year-olds are the same. Not all 10-year-olds are the same.
That's exactly right. And the article does give a nice checklist of, okay, what are some things to consider? I mean, you know, does your child know how to perform everyday tasks? Can they fix themselves food? You know, can they call you easily if they need you for something? Do they know what, you know, not to open the door for a stranger? I mean, you know your kid. And I think the biggest question on the checklist that I always focused on the most was, are they okay with this? Like, I would never leave a kid home alone who's like, no, please don't leave, you know? Right. I mean, so my kids were always like, no, I don't care. Yeah. Run, you know, take her to swim practice or whatever. And they don't care. So once they're confident and comfortable with it, then really my next step is, can they contact me if they need me? And I don't go too far, you know?
Good advice. Callie Herbst, founder with Milwaukee with Kids, mkewithkids.com. Great to catch up, Callie.
All right. Have a good day.
I was leaving the other day with my nearly 17-year-old son. I'm like, yeah, so dinner, like, you throw a pizza in the oven or whatever. And there was a pause. I'm like, what, no good? He's like, just really like using the oven. Makes him hurt. I'm like, you can't go to college, dude, if you can't make a pizza. Like, figure it out, man.
There's cold meat in the fridge. Just make yourself a sandwich.
Brewers back in action. Got the final homestand here before the All-Star break. We'll look ahead at sports at 6:45.
In Santa Fe, New Mexico this morning, jury selection begins in the trial of Alec Baldwin, the actor charged with felony involuntary manslaughter over a deadly movie shooting. CBS's Elise Preston.
Today, prosecutors and defense attorneys will try to narrow down a jury pool to 12 jurors in Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial as it gets underway. It's been nearly 3 years since the onset shooting death of Rust cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Baldwin was holding the gun when it fired, but maintains his innocence, saying he did not pull the trigger.
So trials should last about 2 weeks. He faces 18 months in prison if convicted. Now, a major ruling on Monday could help the defense. ABC's Mola Lenghi explains.
There was a pretty significant development in Monday's pretrial hearing. The judge ruling that Baldwin's role as a Rust movie producer is not relevant to the trial, only his role as an actor. The prosecution really trying to take two bites out of the same apple. You know, they wanted to be able to argue that Baldwin was negligent, one, as a movie producer, creating that reckless and unsafe atmosphere that led to the shooting. And they also wanted to be able to argue that Baldwin was negligent as the actor who was holding the gun.
Yeah, they wanted to present evidence that showed how he bore special responsibility as a co-producer. They had some film or video of him acting irresponsibly. They will not be able to show that now as evidence.
See, I'm not an attorney, but I also think that can hurt him in a way, right? Because my thought is then, okay, never mind the chaos on the set or any of this stuff, like, then it's you solely responsible for your behavior. So you can't then excuse, you know, well, I was handed this gun, then other people should have been, you know, like, okay, but then you're responsible for what you did with it.
He says it misfired, that he never pulled the trigger. Prosecutors say that's not possible. So the gun now will get a lot of attention. Again, jury selection begins today. Baldwin will be in court.
Siding Unlimited, WTMJ News Time, 6:39.
With the RNC starting up now, we're seeing all the setup taking place downtown. All the hotels will be ramped up, including the Hyatt Regency. The Hyde Regency in the news the last nearly 2 weeks. This after a man died outside of the hotel after a confrontation with hotel security guards. His name, Devante Mitchell. The story's been in the news quite a bit. Confrontation with hotel security guards outside the Hyatt leads to his death. This happened late last month. And now renowned civil rights attorney Benjamin Crump spending Monday in Milwaukee calling for charges in this case. Now, Mitchell allegedly entered the women's bathroom of the hotel. He was taken out by security guards who held him face down. There is some camera shots of this. People had cameras there. Crump was on our sister station, 101.7 The Truth, telling host Tori Lowe that excessive force was used. He says one of the guards knelt on Mitchell, much like what happened with George Floyd.
Everybody should have trained police and quasi-police authorities that you don't put knees on necks and backs because it causes asphyxiation. It causes people to suffocate. Well, they did it even worse than that. They took his shirt, his hoodie, and put it over his head.
Yes, I saw that.
He couldn't even really talk, so you know, much less breathe. I mean, you hear him say, struggling to say please and I'm sorry while his sound is muffled. And when a man is saying, please help me, you got him.
Right.
So Crump is calling for charges to be filed. He questions why it's taken so long. You can imagine that this will become a storyline that they're going to try to use going into the RNC when you have more people in town.
Right, so much attention on Milwaukee right now.
Yep. Milwaukee police say they're investigating the case, but it's not being called a criminal investigation right now. The security guards have been suspended for the time being. This says we're going to become the center of the focus right now. Milwaukee will be in the coming days with the RNC.
Sports up next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vetrano.
The final homestand for the crew before the All-Star break starts tonight. Brewers and Pirates at American Family Field. Colin Ray on the hill for the crew, who's had himself a nice season. 8-2, 3.34 ERA. And he started a whopping 15 games. That's incredible. Actually, outside of Freddie Peralta, that's the most on the team, believe it or not. Just don't have that many starters. We've gone through that with these guys. Manager Pat Murphy had this to say. So this is on the Brewers Radio Network last Friday. So Lane Grindle was asking him about their new guy, Savale, who they traded from Tampa Bay. They got him, and he pitched on Friday night's game against the Dodgers. Lane asked about how he was dealing with another starter.
You get your first chance to see Aaron Civale in a Brewers uniform, a little bit like speed dating. You got to get caught up on him. He's got to get caught up on you. Is there extra preparation that goes into it from you and the rest of the staff?
Well, first of all, Lane, I got to say that I'm not familiar with speed dating. So let me know if I should be, but I don't think it's my cup of tea.
All right.
I don't think it needs to be skipped. That's all right.
First pitch, 7:10 tonight right here on WDTMJ. Our coverage begins right after the news at 6, again, right here on WDTMJ.
To the fortnight, Wimbledon. Only one American woman still in the hunt for a Grand Slam title at the All England Lawn Tennis and Croquet Club. That being Emma Navarro. She plays today in the quarterfinals after upsetting the number 2 seed and American favorite in Coco Gauff in straight sets. Two Americans still alive on the men's side. In it on the men's side, American Taylor Fritz. He advanced to the quarterfinals with an upset win over 4-seeded Alexander Zverev. He was down 2-0.
It was amazing to do that on center court Wimbledon, 2 sets down in front of this crowd is just like, yeah, it's a dream.
Yeah, so Fritz plays again tomorrow. American Tommy Paul has the 3rd-seeded Spaniard Carlos Alcaraz today at Wimbledon.
I want to ask you about, and I'll stay away from online dating. We won't dive into that at all.
Thousands set to take the streets of Milwaukee Thursday night. This is not an RNC protest march. It's the annual Storm the Bastille Run Walk. A lot of folks come out and participate. Many more line the streets. Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reports already 3,000 people registered for the nighttime run through downtown in Milwaukee's 3rd Ward as Bastille Days will kick off. Journal Sentinel's own Lori Nicol live with us this morning. You've run this, Lori.
That was my very first ever 5K, full 5K. And I signed up for it because it was in the dark, so no one would see me.
Yes. Perfect. They'll never know it was me.
I am so serious, right? And I was running along, and a friend of mine from high school shows up running next to me. Lori, what's up? And he's toting a radio flyer wagon full of beer. And I'm like, okay, I'm in the right place. I don't drink, but I know I'm not the worst runner here, so it's good.
Did you run it, or just your son?
Actually, it was my first time. My first 5K was Bastille Days also, like back in, I don't know, 2003 or something like that. But my son ran it last year. He said he absolutely loved it.
Are there like super competitive runners also, Lori, in this?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, my friends are like, come on, we got to go up front because we got to be in the photo and be next to the competitive runners.
Okay.
So that it looks like. Yeah, there's a few, you know, but thankfully they really do need to get going because this is not an intense run at all. So I think I've probably seen maybe 30, you know, two dozen people who are super competitive about it. And they're finishing, like, what's really cool is it weaves and meanders through the city and there's crowds and everything and the lights are out. It's beautiful. But you see the finishers finish and you're like, wow, I'm at mile one. Okay, that's great. So it is such a cool event. You know, a lot of people do it and don't pay. They just show up because it's not that serious.
Yep.
But I would, you know, the $35 or whatever it is goes to I think it's the East Town group. So it's worth it. The t-shirts are usually cool, but it's kind of like the old Boston Marathon, like kids show up, oh, let's go run this with a beer, two beers, you know, it's very casual.
Got to start talking about this. Olympics just a few weeks away now. The Paris Games open on July 26th. Want to focus on a number of the athletes that you've had contact with locally who are going to be competing. Had an interesting piece on this swimmer from Shorewood, Amy Barrow.
Ami.
Okay.
Short for Aminata. Yep.
Okay. She's competing for Gambia. What's her story?
She's not from the United States originally. Her mother is from Finland and her father is from the Gambia, which is this small little country just below Senegal in Western Africa. But they've been living in Shorewood for 10, 12 some years now, I wish I remember. Anyway, she's 20 years old now. She's a former Wisconsin state champion in swimming. And it occurred to her and her mother, who, you know, live in Wisconsin, that she could possibly qualify for the swim team. You know, they don't have a huge Olympic team for the Gambia because they don't have a huge country. I mean, it's really, 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 really small. So she went through a process of swimming internationally in Japan and in Angola around her swim season, which, by the way, is at Brown University, an Ivy League school. And by the way, she's also a pre-med student. So this kid's got a lot going
on. An Olympian in her
free
time. Right. Yeah. So where is she training right now? Is she here?
She was here for a couple of weeks, and she uses the pool and trains with her coach here in Wisconsin. But right now, she's very intense training at Brown because they have the longer Olympic distance type. There's shorter distance, there's longer distance in swim, yards to meters. So she has that opportunity, and her coaches are out there. And she's really been pushing herself to get ready. She'll be able to taper soon, so she's looking forward to that.
Oh, awesome. So now we can root for the Gambia also. I love that when we can take on some other. We're rooting for Greece in basketball, rooting for the Gambia in swimming.
Isn't it cool? And she's the first ever female swimmer from that country to go to the Olympics. I mean, so she's making history. She'll be in the preliminary swimming event on July 28th. And, you know, just by getting to the starting blocks or the board, she will be making history. It's for a 20-year-old, and, you know, she's so smart, she's so dedicated, great family, just a really, really cool story. Yeah, I got my little the Gambia bracelet to wear to cheer for her that day.
Nice. Look forward to that and many more. Thanks, Lori.
Thank you so much, guys. See you Thursday.
Coming up on 7 o'clock on Wisconsin's Morning News.